Hey, Sean Gaby here. Welcome to the Supernatural Leadership Podcast.
Hey everyone, Sean Gaby here with the Supernatural Leadership Podcast, talking about the difference between principle-led leadership and presence-led leadership. We all have a leader within. Why not make that leader a little more supernatural? Enjoy today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome again to another Supernatural Leadership Podcast episode. My name is Sean Gaby, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in. I so appreciate everyone that has subscribed, everyone that's writing reviews, rating, sharing the podcast, whether it's through audio, which I know is the main focus of this podcast, or video, and you've recently subscribed to our Supernatural Leadership YouTube channel. Please share these episodes. I know there's so much fruit that comes out of the conversations and comes out of the episodes that I do as it pertains to training people in the supernatural. I really want to encourage you to keep sharing it with your friends and coworkers. I mean, this is a podcast that's really focused around raising up leaders in the supernatural, in the marketplace, and how that pertains to impact and influence in the marketplace. So I would encourage you to share it with your coworkers, and I know that it will be of great encouragement. Today, we have a very special guest as well in this episode. It's going to be an amazing conversation, different type of conversation. Super excited about someone that I've known for 20 years, actually, or even more, 20, I think 21 years since 2003, I think. And her name is Nadine Torgerson, and she's based out of Toronto, Ottawa, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I always say Ottawa because I keep in my mind, people keep saying that Toronto is the capital of Canada. Everywhere I go recently, people think Toronto is the capital. It's not the capital. It's Ottawa. Anyway, she's from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I'm going to read a little bit of her bio along with her husband, Dr. Corey Torgerson, to give you a little bit of a snapshot of what they do, what she does, and what they're about. And so Nadine Torgerson and Dr. Corey Torgerson own multiple medical businesses such as Sovereign MD and Toronto Hair Transplant Clinic. Dr. Corey is a surgeon with a PhD in neuroscience and became a medical doctor with a subspecialty training in as an ENT, which is an ear, nose, and throat specialist, and facial plastic surgery. Nadine manages the business sides of things with a background in education and has successfully built this business from one employee to over 60 team members since 2009. They opened in 2009, right after the recession. And first year, they were able to scale the business to over seven figures. And now within a decade, she has been able to scale this business from a seven-figure business to an eight-figure business in just less than a decade. They started with facial plastic surgery and expanded into filler, Botox, lasers, and a broad range of medical aesthetic treatments. And they do the largest hair transplant volume in all of North America. They opened their new facility in the heart of Toronto, Canada in 2019, prior to the pandemic, with a 14,000 square foot private hospital, which is the largest private cosmetic surgery facility in all of Canada. So, man, this is a power-packed bio. And so, Nadine Torgerson, welcome. Welcome to the Supernatural Leadership Podcast.
Hi, Sean. Thanks so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here and lots of fun because, as you said, we've known each other for more than 20 years. So
that's crazy. That's definitely, it ages us for sure. And yes. The last time I had you on this podcast, I think it was a few years ago, but it was with your husband as well. And so I'm excited to have you alone. Not that I don't love your husband. I love your husband dearly. But excited to have you to dive into a little bit of a different part of your journey. And yeah, we met back in Mexico on a missions trip, actually.
Yes.
And it was in 2000 and was it
four? Yes. Yeah, summer of 2004. Yes.
Oh, it was four. Okay. 2004, summer of 2004. Man, my memory for dates now is a little bit, but crazy that it's been 20 years.
And, yes.
You didn't know Corey, your husband at that point. I didn't know my wife, Michelle. And our family has, you know, and your family have connected over the years, and we're quite close with you guys. We love you guys, and we've from afar and inside a little bit have watched your journey going from where you've been. I remember even being with you guys right at the juncture of you getting your first clinic in 2009.
Yes, you were. And your wife, Michelle, was pregnant with your first and I was pregnant with our first. So we've really journeyed like a lot in career, in family, in spiritual growth together as families. And it's been really fun.
It's been wild. And just, you know, watching the evolution of where you came from too, because you were in education, right? You were a vice principal,
Yes, vice principal.
And for how long were you doing that for?
I was in the school system for about 7 years.
Okay, so you were in education. So business, like, wasn't really in your cards initially, I guess, or was it? Did you always feel like you were going to do business at some point?
What I felt was that I knew I wanted to start off with teaching and getting my education degree and all of that sort of thing, but I knew that that wasn't where God was going to keep me. And I wasn't sure what door he was going to open. But in the meantime, I started off with education and always had that knowing inside of me that eventually one day that would change. And sure enough, it did once I was married to Corey and he had finished his schooling and decided that he needed to open up his own surgery center, then it just made sense that I would leave my teaching career to help manage the business and the human resources side of things and allow Corey to focus on what he loved doing, which was working with patients. And so it was a natural fit. We did pray about it and got the go ahead from God. And so that's kind of where we started our journey.
So basically now you're the principal of the business.
Yes.
Educating all the employees and all the team members that you have and, you know, the culture. But I, you know, it's funny because you probably never thought you'd marry a plastic surgeon of all people.
Never would have crossed my mind. I mean, I don't think if I hadn't married him, I wouldn't have a clue even now, probably what Botox was or would have ever been interested in it. But
wow,
that's how God works. So,
well, you guys definitely over the years have introduced us to a different way of seeing things for sure. Cause you know, up until you guys, I didn't know anything about that world either. I mean, I think probably more than ever, I think the population has shifted for sure.
Yes.
But I mean, a decade ago, even from my perspective, 15 years ago, I mean, when you guys started, I think the average person didn't have a lot of education, understanding of what Botox even was. I mean, now it's used for people with migraine headaches. I mean, like, I don't know at what point this was a normal thing, but I know for the average person, it wasn't in their normal conversation.
I agree. 15 years ago when we started out, it just wasn't something that was widely talked about. Mostly it was joked about and people didn't really have an understanding. And then along came people like the Kardashians. And it became much more common and widespread in the culture and acceptable even that people would spend their money on these kinds of frivolous beauty things just as much as they might want a new pair of jeans or a new pair of nice shoes, things like that. So,
right.
Yeah, it's really evolved. Even in the last 15 years, we've seen quite a transformation in the cultural acceptance of these sorts of things.
Right. The last time we were on this chat and your husband was with you, we talked about, we kind of focused the conversation around the controversial nature of plastic surgery a little bit. Mm-hmm. You shared some stories of people's heart transformation because of stuff that they've done on the outside. And we shared some of that and we dove into that a little bit. Today, I don't want to necessarily do that, but I want to dive into a different side because you have been at the forefront as a businesswoman building this business from the ground up and managing everything and being able to scale it from somebody that has never had a business background. You didn't go to business school. You didn't have a PhD in business, right? And you've been able to ride this train all the way into where it is now. You're doing the largest volume of hair transplant in North America. You're building as a standout facility in all of Canada. Like, how did you get to this point? Like, tell us a little bit about your journey into business, because you guys are kingdom. And I say this to anybody out there watching, listening, You know, these guys, Dr. Corey Torgerson, Nadine Torgerson, as a couple, they really model in such a unique way how to incorporate the kingdom in the marketplace within the business. You've done it in so many different ways. And I want to kind of dive into that a little bit as we move forward. But first, I want to hear, like, tell us a little bit about your journey and how you did things different as Nadine Torgerson to build a business that you really had no education to do. Like, how did you do it?
Well, first of all, it was definitely the Lord. It was definitely God guiding and showing us and teaching us on the fly as we went along. And I think as I look back now, if I had understood the scope of what I was saying yes to, I probably wouldn't have done it. But, you know, in the moment, especially when you're young, I was still in my 20s when we started this journey, you know, you're more of a risk taker than you are once you have kids and once you're older, and God knows that. And he really had showed us that this was the right thing for us to do. And that in and of itself is a huge reason why we were successful, is because we were in the right place in the right time of what God had asked us to do and what he was wanting us to do. And so that is foundationally very important.
Can you define that for the listeners? Like, people ask you, how do you know it's the right time? Like, what was happening in that juncture where you knew it was the right time?
Corey had just graduated. I was already working, but he had just finished his schooling as a facial plastic surgeon, and getting full-time work in the hospitals, especially in Toronto, was very difficult for a new surgeon. They didn't give very many hours, and we knew that God wanted us to stay in Toronto. We felt like that was home. And so Corey began to talk about the possibility of him opening up his own surgery center. And when we started to look at what that would take to hire a manager to come alongside him and manage the business side of things, we just realized that myself and my salary as a teacher, we were going to be paying that out to somebody. And I might as well do it, because nobody is going to care as much for the success of the business as somebody who's in your own family or your own spouse. And so we just said, well, let's.
That's amazing. So you just kind of fell into it.
Yeah. And we really.
You said, I might as well do it.
Well, yeah. But we did ask the Lord, and I said, Lord, I really want a confirmation of this, that this is what you're wanting me to do, because I'm going to be giving up my own career to help Corey establish his. And so God was faithful. And I think within about 2 to 3 weeks of us starting to pray through it, God gave me a dream where I was at the funeral of my teaching career. And I think I talked about that on the last podcast we did with you, but that was when I woke up. I said, okay, that's an easy dream to interpret. That's my answer. I'm letting it go.
So you dreamt that the principal version of you was in a coffin.
It's funny, in the coffin, it was like, it wasn't me, thankfully, but it was my teaching career. I knew it was my teaching career in the coffin being lowered into the ground.
Wow. Okay. So you fell into this, you started doing it. You didn't know what you're doing. So, I mean, like, people ask this all the time, like, okay, so how did you do it? Like, how did you just know? Cause here's my thing is, like, you know, when you're unfamiliar with a certain type of market, like, you got to familiarize yourself with that market. You've never run a plastic surgery clinic before. You've never run a medical facility. How did you educate yourself to get ready to do this? Like, how did you, like, give us a little bit of the nuts and bolts about how you entered into this space?
You know, like I said earlier, it was really about allowing God to bring us connections and people who helped us along the way, people who had knowledge, and I would just get a little tidbit there or a little tidbit over here and begin to piece it together. And God brought us suppliers and people who knew somebody else who then we could reach out to as a vendor and this sort of thing. And it just started coming together. It wasn't that it wasn't hard. It was hard. But at the same time, when I look back on it, it was actually easy as well, because it was such a grand thing to open up your own operating room and what are the specifications for that, to build that out and these sorts of things. And yet somehow it all fell into place, and God would bring the people into connection with us that we needed. And slowly but surely, my knowledge base grew and grew and grew. And we were just able to work hand in hand with the Lord to make it happen.
Wow. That's awesome. You know, it's all, people are always looking for formula. Like, what's the formula? How do you build a successful company? How do you build a successful business? Kingdom focus. You know, I think about the Forever 21 guys. That, I don't know if you know, they're familiar with their story a little bit. They're from South Korea. They came over. They had no money. And they were, I think they landed in Los Angeles. And the woman, the wife, was on a, you know, on a prayer retreat or something, on a prayer mountain, and had a vision from God, or God spoke to her about a clothing company, Forever 21. But they used to pray, get up, I think it was like 4 to 9 or something every morning. They'd pray for 5 hours a day, every day. And that's how they would accredit their ability to build this big company. Now people are always looking for the formula, you know, as a kingdom business. What would you say? And I know that can get a little bit like weird, like, well, you can't copy someone else's formula, but what would you say your rhythm looked like? Were you, you know, up every morning praying for strategy, working like 18 hours a day? Like, what was your rhythm in that time?
For me, I really believe that being a principled person and following the principles of God in the silences of God is really important. So we can ask God and say, show me. And sometimes he does, just like he did with the dream that I was to finish my teaching career. But there's other times when God is quiet and we don't get a really clear answer that we are hoping for. And in those times of silence, I believe that God is trying to transition us from being slave mindset, which is tell me and I will obey, to being in the mindset of a son, because God wants sons, and sons know what their father would like them to do without always needing to have it spoon fed to them. And so in those times when God was quiet, we would choose to do things out of principle, out of godly kingdom principles. And that's how we would grow. And so we didn't want to stagnate and spin our wheels when it was taking too long to get an answer, because sometimes, you know, you need to make decisions quickly. And if the answer of the Lord didn't come, then in those moments we would say, okay, God, I'm going to practice being a son. I'm going to practice choosing to do something based on principle and what I believe the principle that you have in your word is about the situation, and build from there. So it was really about building on principle a lot of the times in the times when God didn't answer.
And what were some of the main, like, what would you say one of the big miracles was in the beginning stages? Like, was it your first location? Did you have like a big shift? Like, what would you say the big spike was in the beginning stages of building this business? Because it seems like you had a big spike. Like, you started off and you launched. Like, a lot of businesses go through these like ebbs. I think stats are that it takes 4 to 5 years typically for the average business out there to be, you know, in profit, you know. But for you guys, it seemed like you started off and boom, there was an explosion, and then you kept on growing over the next first decade. What would you say one of the big spikes was that kind of launched you into a greater faith or just understanding of what God, the scope of what God had for you?
Okay, that's a multi-layered question. So I think I'll go with what we chose to do from the beginning. We had a really great business mentor named Arthur Burke, and he actually had come in and he helped us really see the importance of layering our business spiritually in as many ways as we could think of from the very beginning, so that we were really layering God and Jesus into our business. So for example, these are some of the examples of the ways we would layer it. The music that is playing and filling the atmosphere every day is hand selected. It's either Christian instrumental music, or it's specifically music that points people to God, if it's a more of an upbeat selection. Okay, what's visually on the tables to read or on the TVs that's there to watch, especially curated. We don't want like depressing daily news of the latest murders and torment in the area filling our space. So, So even what's in the atmosphere is important. We even have smells that are important, because smells are important to God. In the tabernacle and the temple, it was an abomination to him if it was the wrong smell. So we've tried to layer things and work with the Holy Spirit on these kinds of simple things, but they make a difference. And then even when our new place was being built in 2019, we dedicated it to God in a variety of ways. Like we put declarations and scriptures in every single room, on the floors, on the concrete, on underneath the drywall, on the petitions. Some other ways we layer is we have intercessors that work for us. They pray for our team, our patients, our business, us and our family. We have a life coach that's Holy Spirit filled that works with our teams in small groups. And even as individuals, she comes in every single week. She works with them on their own life goals and their hangups, but there's a direct benefit to our business when our employees have their life in order or have a mentor that they can confidently talk to about their personal issues. So these are all different kinds of ways that we try to layer. We also, with our staff and our team, we run fun team building activities, but we also do intentional evenings where people are welcome to come and encounter Holy Spirit. We do like prophetic nights or inspirational speakers. One coming up that we have is a dream interpretation night. So we've really tried to purposefully layer our business with the kingdom as much as we possibly could.
And that's so amazing. I love
that's
that.
That's an example.
Yeah, I love that. I love these examples that you created, because really you're talking about what it looks like to create a kingdom culture within your business, because every business has a culture. So the culture of what you see, taste, touch, smell, everything is considered in those moments. And I see it when I have visited your clinic. I feel it. I see it. I smell it. I experience you can tell that your hands and that, you know, the your focus is on all of those elements. From the music. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the music. And one other thing that I was going to say, because we were talking about the formula and how that can be dangerous for people to go into or try to follow that. But there are some things biblically that God has given us as a formula. And if we follow them, there is sure to be blessing that is a response to that, simply because we're being obedient to what God has set out in his word. And one of the concepts that is really key for us as business owners that I think is missing in a lot of other people, marketplace leaders, is this concept of the first fruits offering, which is talked about a lot in the Bible. And we purposefully do first fruits offerings as much as we possibly can. So when we're launching a new branch of our business, we will do a first fruits offering, or at the start of each fiscal new year, we will do that. And it's different from just tithes and offerings. The first fruits is very specific in the Bible. And if you don't know what it is, Robert Henderson has some great teachings on that. But for us, I do feel that that's one of the key principles. And if you would like to say formulas that really works, because it's biblical, it's God's way of bringing in blessing into your business or to your life when you honor his first fruits principle that he lays out in the word. So that's one thing that I think is really key.
I love that. And I think we can land here for a few moments, because I think this is really powerful. Describe what that means for you and what you believe when it comes to the first fruits offering, so that you give the listeners a practical, the business people that are listening right now, like, hey, we have revenue, we want to see movement. Tell me what to do. What would you tell them?
Yeah. So the concept in a nutshell of the first fruits offering is that God asks us to bring to him an offering before our harvest has even arrived. And so at the start of anything new in our business or in our life, if we bring a first fruits offering, then that is us saying, Lord, we trust you that you're going to bring the harvest even when we haven't seen it yet. And so for us, like I said, if we do it at the start of each fiscal new year, I don't know what my what my revenue is going to be, but I bring in a first fruit offering, and then that can be a financial offering of whatever works and makes sense for you after you've talked it over with Holy Spirit. And that is presented to the Lord. And in regards to saying, I trust you that you're going to take care of our business this year, even though we haven't seen what revenue we're going to make this year.
And now now just for practical sake here, because I know a lot of people always, and I find this with anything in business, and I find it with business people. There are business people out there that make generosity complicated. What I mean by that, I know a lot of people that based upon tax implications and all these different things, their accountant recommends, okay, you do it this way. But I think there's a line of, I get it. You know, we live in North America. There are certain tax implications, and a lot of people want to have tax benefits and all these different things. So their generosity is complicated. When it's funny, because in Romans, when Paul talks about the gift of generosity, the word generous actually means uncomplicated. If you break down the Greek, it actually means to uncomplicate giving. When you're generous, it's not complicated. It's uncomplicated, but a lot of us complicate it. And but I just that's a second sort of focused comment. I want to just get to the practical side of this.
Hey, pause, a little commercial break. If you haven't already, I want to encourage you, and you're wanting to take your supernatural leadership to the next level, visit supernaturalleadership.com and join one of our on-demand courses. It is going to change the game. So many amazing testimonies already have come out of people over the years taking this course content. I want to encourage you, sign up today. We have a special offer for you. And as well, if you want to go even deeper and take your leadership to the next level, I would encourage you, and maybe you've already thought about this before, but getting a coach, a one-on-one mentor. Well, I have an opportunity that I want to invite you into with myself, one-on-one mentoring and coaching. It may be a short time or even a longer time. We have many different coaching packages that we offer, and I want to encourage you to consider this today. I believe it will take your leadership to the next level. Dream interpretation, growing in your discipleship, growing in the word, maybe even preparation for you for vocational ministry and bringing the supernatural into every sphere of society. I want to encourage you today, click the link in the description, fill out the survey, and we'll see if coaching is a good fit for you.
When you speak of bringing your first fruits, for the listeners out there, are you talking about your business is bringing a first fruits, or are you personally on behalf of the business are bringing your first fruits, and where is that going?
You can do it both ways. It's really between you and God. So definitely our business has brought first fruits offerings. And then also we personally have brought first fruits offerings. Sometimes you can do them in tandem together, or you can do them individually. It just depends on what it is. But we try to do that at any new beginning, whether it's starting a new branch of our business, even the start of the new fiscal year, those kinds of things.
And that would be to your local house of God, or would that be to like a charitable organization? Like, speak to that a little bit.
Always kingdom. It doesn't necessarily have to be the house where you're being fed, your church, because I think that that's more about tithes and sowing in this, whereas this is more about offering. And I think God gives us a wide range that his kingdom encompasses a lot of godly, amazing, charitable organizations. I mean, another consideration is that sometimes you may not even get a tax receipt for where he tells you to put it. A first fruits offering can go wherever Holy Spirit's directing you. And the reality is the Bible also speaks about the giving of alms to widows, to orphans, to people like that. So you might have a widow in your church. Maybe you give it directly to her, and you just, it's between you and God, and God will keep that on your record, and you may not ever get a tax receipt for it, but you're not about the tax receipts. You're about generosity according to God's principles, and that's what's really important.
So you would say that in some way, like a key, what I'm getting from this is that one of your keys in scaling and growing and advancing, I love it, at the beginning of the year, you don't know what your revenues are going to be. You don't know if you're going to beat last year's record. You don't know if you're going to have an ebb and you're going to go.
We don't know if COVID's coming.
You don't know if COVID's coming, but you've just made a decision. And now, is this at the beginning of every year?
Yes, at the beginning of every fiscal year, we will do it.
Okay, so this is a principle within your business that you were led to do by God. God obviously inspired for you to do this. I mean, you could have done it in September. You could do it in summer. You felt like at the beginning of the Gregorian calendar that you were going to do this way.
Actually, if I can switch that, Sean, personally, some people might do it at the beginning of a Gregorian calendar, but we do it at the beginning of our fiscal year for our business.
Fiscal year.
Because it's the start of something new or fresh. And that's the principle of the first fruits is that every year God would ask his people before their harvest came in, every year they were to bring a first fruits. Now that's outside of tithes and normal offerings and those kinds of things. So we're still giving those on a monthly or a regular basis. But this principle of first fruits, I think, is often just either misunderstood or lumped into tithes and offerings, or sometimes people don't even know about it, but it is a very specific and separate offering that God has asked for his people to bring to him. And I think for businesses in particular, it's extremely important.
Okay. So now that I love talking about this. This is a great landing strip because I love talking about finances. I love talking about money as it pertains to kingdom living. I've taught on this for years. I have so much teaching on this. And I love that you're doing this for your business. I think I talk to a lot of business people out there. You know, they might tithe, they might give offerings, but their business is separate from all of that. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, if God owns it all principles apply to all areas of our life. It does not matter.
Correct.
You know, like Jesus was never like, okay, you know, you only do it this way from this stream of income. He owns it all. It's all his at the end of the day. And we should be applying all these principles led by God to all these facets of our life. I mean,
yes.
Even with kids that, you know, don't make money, that you know, get gifts for Christmas and stuff. I'm like, to my kids, I'm like, if you can't give a dollar off of a $10 gift now, when you have no bills to pay, no responsibility, no, financial pressure, how are you going to start tithing when you get a paycheck and you're paying a cell phone bill by yourself? Like,
absolutely. I'm big on parental responsibility to teach stewardship to our children, and absolutely agree with you, Sean. Couldn't agree with you more. Our kids tithe on any gifts that they get, because we have to teach them now. We have to lay those foundations now. Otherwise, they're not going to do them when they're an adult. They need to understand the importance of it right now.
So I want to go back to this because, you know, so generosity obviously is a core value of your business. It's a core value of who you are.
It's a core kingdom value. I think if you are saying that you're a follower of Jesus and you want to run a kingdom business, if you're ignoring the fact that God wants us to be a generous people, you are, I think, in error.
Now, I agree, 100% agree. I want to just land on this one thought though, because I've noticed this in my own life, and maybe you can attest to this and you have a testimony as far as it pertains to your business. I've noticed that when I've done, whether it's a first fruit offering, whether it's just an offering above and beyond my tithe for something special, the blessing and the favor of God, I believe, scripturally speaking, is always on the offering, not the tithe. Now, let me just qualify that for a second. I know this is not a teaching on the tithe.
You.
The tithe to me is like just standard protection. It's like the baseline. It's like the foundation of the building that is the blessing of God that sits on the foundation. If you have no foundation, the blessing can't sit on anything. I look at the tithe as like the basic level. Like, it just keeps my trust in God. It's like such a basic thing that 90% of what I get, I live on, and I have free will to do whatever I want with. And if I want to give offerings off that 90% that I have left to work with, that 10% is not even a gift to God because I'm returning it according to scripture. It belongs to him. I'm just returning it back to him. So I'm not giving a tithe.
Yes.
I'm just returning it to him. Whereas an offering is a willing sacrifice, the same way that Jesus got up on a cross willingly. Offerings feel like something. They feel painful because they're above and beyond, outside of our budgeted, you know, 90% that we live on, they're above and beyond. And sacrifices, offerings are a sacrifice of praise. They're when we offer anything to God, it should feel like a sacrifice. So I've noticed over the years that when I've given offerings and I felt the pinch, like the pain of the sacrifice and the fear, because I don't believe anytime we ever step out in faith, we don't have a level of like, oh God, this is crazy that I'm doing this. Because to me, it's not faith if it doesn't feel crazy and feel impossible and feel like, how are we going to make it? I've always seen the greatest breakthroughs. And then I've noticed other times in my life where I've sacrificed, like I've sacrificed, but it didn't really hurt that much. And I didn't see the same breakthrough. Do you have a story or anything that stands out to you where you had like your greatest year and you could kind of attribute it back to like the big first fruits offering or something? Like give us a little bit of a.
Yeah, I think we've just been from day one. And because I was taught it as a child, grew up in a Christian home, to be uncompromising in my tithes and my offerings, that it's been very foundational for us to give. And to your point earlier, Sean, I look at it like a scale, like a number scale, whereas we're in the negative, tithing brings us to zero, but we want to go into positive numbers, and we go into positive by giving offerings. So tithes gets us out of the negative and gets us to zero, but we want to move into positives. And I think what we've really seen it, I mean, COVID's an awesome example. We were told as business to shut down during COVID, as most businesses were. And so we had the first couple months where we were completely closed. And then as COVID continued to roll on for the next 2 years, our government would at times say things like, your surgery center has to shut down because we're concerned that there won't be enough supplies for the hospitals, and elective private hospitals might consume too much, and those sorts of things. So there was always this rolling of like, we might not have been completely closed like we were the first 2 months, but there were different pillars or departments within our business that were closed at different times. But we really saw God's provision through it all, whereas some of our colleagues in the industry who are not necessarily kingdom business people, but just colleagues regularly, they were really suffering. They really struggled. They had very, very hard times through COVID. But for us, never. We just saw the hand of God the whole way through COVID, that even when there was this cycling of shutdowns, God had already preset us up for success. For example, surgery needed to be shut down, but hair transplant was still allowed. So it was like we could shift all of our staff over to do our wait list of hair transplant and still have everybody busy and working full time, even though elective surgeries like facelifts or rhinoplasty for the nose were not allowed. God had it already preset up that we had other pillars within our business that we could pivot to and still be generating income on and keeping our staff employed. We didn't have to fire anybody or anything like that. And so in that, that's probably a really great example that everyone can relate to, the trouble of COVID, where we saw the blessing of God. And I truly believe it's because of, him bringing to remembrance that the tithes, the offerings, the generosity that we make as a habit, uncompromising habit for ourselves and for our business.
Now, can you look back? Did you kind of, is that where your hair transplant part exploded? Was it in that season? Like, when did it start to really scale?
It was actually the largest
before
volume
that. In North America, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was actually before that, but we hit those numbers in and around COVID, that when we became the largest. So yeah.
Wow. So in a time where you weren't supposed to prosper.
Right.
You prospered. And I this is like, you and I would believe this because we were kingdom and we've watched it for a long time now, that we can attribute that, you know, these things happen because we've been faithful with a habit. I like what you said, that a habit of generosity, a habit of layering. I love this, layering our lives with biblical principles led by the Spirit and creating a habit of that, Now, in times when everybody is suffering, we're seeing a prosperity.
Yes.
To me, that's kingdom. That's kingdom.
Yeah. And Sean, I just want to mention too, in terms of finances and all of this sort of things, Corey and I, we don't compromise on principles of business just to get ahead. So for example, paying our taxes, it stinks, but we pay them. We report honestly what we make. And you might think that that should be something simple for Christian business owners or people running their own things out of their home, but you'd be surprised at how many Jesus followers are not doing that right. They're not reporting honestly what they make. They're not paying taxes. They're not collecting and paying the proper HST. They're collecting cash under the table. These are things that opens the door to the enemy to come in and rob and steal from you. And so I would just say to anybody out there listening, if you have been bending the rules a little bit because you think it will help you get ahead, it actually doesn't. What it does is open the door wider for the enemy to get in and start to steal more from you.
Wow. So I'm hearing, okay, we have generosity is at the forefront of your business. It's in the DNA of what you're building, but then also integrity, character, you know, right living when it, as it pertains to how you conduct business. So the spirit of Daniel, really, because he was faithful, he was an integral, he had character, and yet he was able to be so influential, so long term. I think the difference between someone that is successful for a short time and someone that is successful for a long time is what we're talking about, is layering our lives with these principles of integrity, character, right living, righteousness, prayer, a habit of generosity, these core kingdom principles that undergird everything that we're called to build. I always say it like this, you know, it can take 2 to 5 years to build a foundation for a skyscraper. Skyscrapers are massively influential. They're large. They make a statement. Everybody sees them. They reach really high. But nobody see the skyscraper. Nobody really sees the foundation.
Yes.
How deep and how strong and how long it took to create the foundation. Because once you lay the foundation of a skyscraper, they say on average that it can take, you know, they can kind of frame a floor a day almost. Like once the foundation's in, it's like building time.
Yes.
If you don't have that foundation of habit, of proper habits, of righteousness, character, all these things in the seedbed and the foundation of your business, you won't last the long haul, right?
Right. Absolutely. And Sean, one other thing that's coming to mind that I would like to say that's been really key for Corey and I as well is your perspective of success. For me and for Corey, if we build this business and, you know, make all this money and have this successful, prosperous, you know, career, but we lose our family in the process, we've lost everything and we have not been successful. And so I really think for any entrepreneurs listening, you need to know that you cannot compromise on your family. Corey and I, we chose to put our kids and our family first when we were scheduling and building this business. Like you said, Sean, when we're building the foundation of our business, even though it was busy, we didn't sacrifice our children for more success. Families are incredibly important to God. He honors us when we choose to put our kids and our family first. And we can always work longer and harder, but at what cost? Right? At the end of my life, at the end of my days, I want my kids to have grown up having a relationship with us and with God and not to have bitterness as to why their mom and dad weren't around for them and were too caught up in the business. So that's also really foundationally important for us.
Wow. And I see that firsthand. I mean, I've watched you guys. You guys are an inspiration, how you lead your family and how you prioritize family and what you do with your family. You're very intentional. I see that. Nadine is like an amazing planner. Whenever we've gone away with Nadine and her family, she's planning the days from like 9 a.m. to like 7. Man, we get more in with the Torgerson family that we do with anybody we hang with. We can pack every minute in. It's amazing. And I think, but that just goes to show like the way you're wired. You're very, God has given you an ability to be intentional. Like you're a very intentional person. And I think that's an amazing attribute. It's an amazing attribute of any good leader. And I think that's what makes you a good businesswoman, is that you're intentional. and that you care about the details and that you care about prioritizing what you deem as valuable and by being intentional with schedule and all those different things. I think about, like, as you're talking, like, how many people do you know in your industry or even outside? Because you rub shoulders with all kinds of people. You rub shoulders with all kinds of different business people. You're at different gatherings and galas and charitable events. And, you know, in your world, you're connecting with all kinds of, you're very networked. But how many people do you know that are really successful, quote unquote, but are divorced, have, you know, their kids hate them. They don't even have a relationship with their kids. Maybe they're on their third, fourth wife or husband. Like, what would you say your experience is in that space?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's the majority. It's the majority that have brokenness following them. And so on the outside, it's super success and it's admirable on social media. But behind the scenes, they are broken. And we see it firsthand. And so in that way, also, we really feel like God has called us to model a different way, a better way, his way. And so we're trying to do that as best we can. And I think too, with that, your character level must always be higher than your anointing level. So if Corey and I are talking this talk, our character has to show it to those business leaders around us who are watching and saying, okay, we know Corey and Nadine, they call themselves Christians, but how do we see that in their life? And they see it in our character. We're not out having affairs with, you know, this, that, and the other, because our relationship with our spouse is so broken, or, you know, this kind of thing. And so, it's really important that as a Christian business leader, that you intentionally work on and grow on your character. Otherwise, it's going to play out. It might not play out in your work or your business arena, but it's going to show up in other ways in your life, like with your relationships with people or your marriage or your kids. So character development is really big.
Wow. So last quick question before we transition into some key takeaways. Is if you were to tell your 2009, 2010 self, and I say those 2 years, those beginning years when you first launched your first clinic, if you were to tell your that version of Nadine some advice, what would you tell her?
That's a very good question. I think... I think I would say that it's trust God more. Trust God more that it's going to work out, because God uses everything. He always uses everything. And we know that foundationally that's true, but sometimes in the heat of the moment, we don't see it. And then of course, hindsight is 20/20, and we can see how he uses tough circumstances and situations to kind of toughen us up and bring us to the next place where he wants us to be. But I think that's what I would say.
So you're referring to, like, maybe some trauma that would come to the business or challenges that come your way, and you're trying to fight it in your own strength. And other than saying, okay, God, there's something in this.
Yes. I think I was very almost immature in my thinking that everything should be smooth because I'm a child of God.
Oh, okay. That's good. There we go.
And, and it's not that I'm opposed to hard work. I am a hard worker, but I think, like, for example, when we had our first legal complaint brought against us by a patient who was in fact quite crazy, but still it rocked me at the time, because I was like, how could this happen? Like, we know the truth, but now we have to defend it and spend all these hours trying to prove, you know, that we gave good patient care and all these kinds of things. But God really used that to grow us and toughen us up so that we're just, you know, able to encounter a circumstance like that, where when a patient complains or isn't happy about something, like, I'm not losing sleep over it. Whereas at the beginning, I was so rocked by it, because I was just like, but we're good. Why can't they see that? And how could they complain? And, you know, these sorts of things, whereas it's just was getting tough skin. God uses that, and we need that to grow. I mean, like Trump or hate him, the reality is he was able to be the type of president he was because he got some hard knocks learning it in New York business. Right?
Yeah,
operating business in New York City is probably the toughest place on earth, and you got to get a tough skin. Well, that guy got some tough skin, whether you like him or not. So when he was president, he couldn't be bought. He couldn't be convinced otherwise. That came out of his experience as a businessman all those decades in New York City. And so for me, God uses it the same in that he really grows us in the tough circumstances and situations.
Absolutely. I think even biblically speaking, there's always more glory on our lives when there's suffering. You know, and that speaks of persecution specifically, but you know, I believe this, that like our suffering or our challenges or our obstacles, our traumas, all those things, and I said it just on an episode recently, can either trap us or train us.
Yeah.
It's all about our response, all about how we manage them. In hindsight, like you said, it's 2020. Looking back, it's always easy to say, oh, that's why that happened. I'm better here. I'm more confident here. I find now way more identity in what I should be finding identity with. And, you know, we see it after it's done, but to see it while you're in it, that's why you're telling your old self, hey, trust God, because when you're in it, it's very hard sometimes to actually, you know, bring those principles into reality, to see that God is going to mold something beautiful out of it. But
yes,
I appreciate that. And I agree with you. And I think this is encouraging so many people. I think, man, I really enjoyed this conversation. I think we just scratched the surface. I'd love to have you on again, because I'd like to get even dive deeper into some of these things. Like, you know, some of the key takeaways that I took home was this principle of generosity, of course, layering your culture, layering your business. For all the business owners out there that are listening, that have business, maybe it's retail, maybe it's education, online. I don't know what it is for you, but to say, ask God in this season, how can I layer my business? How can I bring principles of the kingdom into every facet of my business? And generosity, like, I want to encourage and implore every business person out there to uncomplicate their generosity. Yeah, you might get a tax receipt, and if you can maximize it, sure, because you live in Canada or you live in North America. Most everywhere else around the world does not have it that way, and they just give. It's uncomplicated. My encouragement is to say, okay, in the next 7 to 21 days, what can I do to reconfigure some things? Maybe you're 6 months in after your fiscal year has begun. You can still start practicing now, giving, trusting God with your business. Maybe it's tithing from your business and giving offerings in your business, and then adding at the beginning of the year, like Nadine said, a first fruits offering. I believe we should be doing all of those things. They apply to all areas of our life and all areas where God is blessing and providing for us. And so I want to encourage you in the next 7 to 21 days, see if you can apply some of these things into what you're already doing, what you're already leading. Nadine, thank you so much for spending time with me. Is there anything else you want to say to those that are listening as we close?
I think we got it, and I think next time we can dig a little further on it. But thanks so much for having me on, Sean. It was a real fun time.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we're going to put the website and some of the information of their businesses in the description below. So check out what they do. And if you're in that area, you're around Canada, and it's your jam, I would encourage you to check out. They have an amazing facility in Toronto, just a beautiful, beautiful facility in Toronto, and they will take great care of you. Well, to all those listening, thank you so much for tuning into the Supernatural Leadership Podcast. Once again, my name is Sean Gaby. Remember, you all have a leader within, so let's make that leader a little more supernatural. Until next time, we'll see you soon.
If this podcast has been an investment into your life and or impacted you in any way, we are incredibly thankful. We would love for you to join us in being able to continue bringing leadership content like this every month. Of course, it does not come without a cost, and our heart is to continue bringing you more improved quality and content. If you would like to partner with us with a one-time financial gift or to sign up as a monthly partner, you can do so at kingdomculture.ca. Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Leadership Podcast.